awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Sweat loose.
Fancy free.
I don't have any feet.
Are you ready for the big time? Because it's ready for me.
What?
What?
What are you talking about?
Moving right along.
What are you talking about? Guys, yesterday we played an artist named DJ Sia.
Yeah.
For New Music Tuesday, and Celeste tweeted him, and that joker tweeted her back.
Oh, snap.
So now he wanted to know what song we were spinning, and he was like, thanks for the support.
That's cool.
That is cool. He said, if I can remember correctly, something about Celeste was the best because she was making him feel blessed in the Pacific Northwest. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
He's a rhymesmith.
Well, his name's DJ Sia.
DJ Sia.
If you missed New Music Tuesday,
Josiah.
We had a lot of new music yesterday.
We did. You need to go back and listen to it. You'll probably hear some of it today.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I gotta be honest, I'm a little thrown off right now.
Yeah, we all are.
Sunday night, all I have is Rocky music. We need our producer here, extraordinaire.
You need Doug.
I need better music than that, Doug.
Doug, can you help us?
Help us, Doug.
Doug, help us with your mind powers.
Sunday night, WrestleMania 30 happened. And it was a crazy weekend. I know this last year, The Ultimate Warrior, he was on a commercial for the new Raw video game. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yes. Oh, man, when this music played, I would get so mad. I was such a Hulk Hogan fan.
Tell
My
him
brother
whose music
was a crazy Ultimate Warrior fan.
Ultimate Warrior. There's the thing, though. That is he? They say he's dead.
Officials told TMZ that Warrior collapsed outside an Arizona hotel on April 8th. That's yesterday, while walking to his car with his wife. And we have had trouble this morning wrapping our minds around whether or not this is real.
We don't know if it's real because the speech that he... Okay, 3 days ago, he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep. He was
Raw.
Then at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then last night...
Yeah, he was at... Was it last night or night before
I mean, Monday
last,
Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. He was at Raw giving a speech. And he started going into all this stuff about how legends never die or something. And
how when you take your last breath...
Yeah, when you take your last breath, what matters is what you've done with your life or something.
That's your legacy.
You know, typical Ultimate Warrior speech where he's saying stuff and it almost makes sense. But then you think about it later and you're like, what? What'd he say?
But then you start looking at, like, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash. All these people have tweeted. Dave Bautista.
Dave Bautista's the only one I believe. I don't trust any of the rest of them because they're all a bunch of liars.
Chris Jericho, Randy Orton, The Rock, Diamond Dallas Page, Vince McMahon.
Did Sting tweet it?
Rowdy Piper.
Okay. He's got a reputation. He's got a good reputation.
Poor Rowdy Piper. Tomorrow is promised to no one, KNOW. Enjoy every second with a tool called love. My love to the Warrior and family, RIP. Tomorrow is promised to no one.
I wonder if that's a cryptic signal.
Conspiracy,
Doug. Doug believes that he's dead.
Because he knows the truth.
Doug was the one, my reports came from Doug, because Doug tweeted this and Instagrammed it late last night. You need to get more sleep, Doug. I woke up and there it was. And I don't know what to believe. We're going to have to call Coon today, because Coon was the biggest Ultimate Warrior fan I've ever met.
Man. Yeah, so, breaking news.
Yeah, just in case he is dead, then we're sad.
His real name was James Helwig. He definitely was a true WWE legend. Mm-hmm. Was one of the greatest of all time.
Even though he had a pretty short career, if you go back and look at it. He was in WCW for a minute, and then he disappeared again.
He lived in Santa Fe.
Oh.
Didn't he live in Santa Fe?
Yep.
I never got to meet him. If he's really dead.
If he's really dead. We'll have to find out.
Thanks, WWE, for being the real-life version of comic books and us never knowing if
we don't
people
know.
Are really dead.
The only thing that makes me not trust it is there are two things. Number one, the fact that his speech was so cryptic and it was talking about all that.
Littered with death.
That stuff has happened before.
Yeah.
People have made, you know, they have talked about stuff and then died later and then everybody's all like, spooky.
Yeah.
But the second thing is the fact that the first, it was like a, all these wrestlers said it first. And then Vince McMahon said it.
Well, if you're friends with wrestlers.
Yes. And that might be who would. But the wife hasn't said anything.
Right.
You know, is there a police report? Has anybody seen a police report? So I don't know. It seems shady. Isn't
you're playing games with my heart, Warrior.
Isn't Triple H like a big wig now? You guys are telling me this?
Yeah.
So he's kind of the man behind the curtains in some ways? Okay. I'm putting a question mark over it just for myself, but I don't mean any disrespect.
Yeah.
If there are any Warrior family members listening for some reason, then I apologize, but it just seems like a shady deal to me.
Yeah, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame the night before WrestleMania 30 this last weekend. Monday Night made his first appearance on Monday Night Raw in years. There had been an 18-year feud between the Ultimate Warrior and WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. And Triple H is actually the guy that James Helwig credits for the reunion.
Really?
Yeah. And Trips, I think, was the first person to tweet something on it.
Well, there you go.
Ah!
We don't know.
We don't. If we get more real information...
Yeah.
We'll pass it on. I just want to start shaking the rope.
Shake the rope! Shake it!
But then I want him to come at me and I'm going to go, you! And then I'm going to try and body slam him and it's going to be crazy. Oh my gosh. Was that WrestleMania 6? WrestleMania 6.
I don't
1990.
Know.
Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan. Intercontinental Championship versus the WWF Championship. Ugh.
Hey, if you were an Ultimate Warrior fan, you need to call in and tell us what you think happened. I want more info. I want to know if other people don't trust this situation.
I know, it sucks. Thank you so much, WWE, for helping us never to trust any news from you ever.
And there's so many celebrity hoaxes, you never know.
Yeah. So this one comes straight from the biz, though. So it's
straight
a little
from
different.
The biz.
A little different. Anyways, it's Wednesday.
We have a great show lined up for you.
Yeah, Comics Corner in the 8 o'clock hour. Max from Astro Zombie is going to be joining us. We have like 15 comics
yeah.
this week.
Good week.
Last night, ABC, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
I feel really bad for my nephew because he's got one certain service provider. And I guess last night during S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my gosh.
Is when they cut ties.
Oh my gosh.
ABC and Dish Network parted ways with each other.
Oh.
He posted it on Instagram and I was watching the video and it's like mid-scene with Bill Paxton and all of a sudden it just goes and then it cuts to this lady like, what has happened to your channel? Unfortunately, they couldn't reach an agreement, ABC and Dish Network. During Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
oh,
it went out.
Well, that was classy.
So if you are a Dish Network fan and you just need to know, join us in the 8 o'clock hour for Comics Corner. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I wonder why they didn't just wait till the show was over.
Man. Yeah, mid-episode.
It would have been the same thing.
Mid-episode.
Just wait till the show's over.
Gosh.
Aw, poor people.
Yep. So we'll be talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, 9 o'clock, Shock Therapy Live, Pastor Nate Heitzig, and us.
Yeah, you know, we going to do it like that.
On the way, though, we have birthdays we got to get to. We got breaking news. If you'd like to get a birthday shout-out in, you can do so. Studio at mystaticradio.com. Right now, it's some Reliant K.
Mm.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Good morning. It's time for the news.
Yep.
Our first item of breaking news is that apparently the Ultimate Warrior is dead. We don't know. We're sad. We're confused.
It's weird, man!
It's a weird morning. It's weird!
Allegedly, the Ultimate Warrior collapsed outside an Arizona hotel at 5:50 p.m. yesterday evening. While walking to his car with his wife, he was transported to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. It is making the rounds in the news.
It is.
Intern Doug's the only one that believes it's real.
Stay strong, Intern Doug.
Yeah.
A new poll shows that Obamacare is accomplishing its goal. What is the goal?
I was just about to ask that.
We will find out. Virgin America has been ranked as the best airline of 2013. I did not fly any Virgin American Airlines or whatever. I didn't do that. But I think they do a lot of... I don't know where they fly. An 80-year-old woman crashed her car into a Florida Hallmark store. That's all I got.
Okay.
That is a terrifying, terrifying news story. She was probably mad at the trinkets or something. Who knows? Professional golfer John Daly has cut back from 28 cans to 12 cans of Diet Coke per day. Why are you drinking so much Diet Coke?
Yeah, gross, dude.
28 cans to 12? Is that real? How's he alive? Researchers are studying a 1,700-year-old mummy found with a brain but with no heart. Interesting.
She's a Tin Man.
It could be.
I'm just saying.
Joe Biden is back on Twitter, for those of you who used to follow him and then you didn't, because I don't know if he stopped or something. He's back. Did you see the video the other day of the skydiver that the meteorite swooped by or something? I didn't watch it, but I saw it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, after many days of analysis by scientists and internet sleuths alike, it's likely that the thing whizzing by a skydiver was not a meteorite, but just a plain old rock that got packed in with his parachute. He had rocks in his parachute.
How did... Okay.
And it just whizzed by. Whing!
Okay.
Not only did the University of Connecticut's men's team win the National Basketball College Basketball Championship,
yeah,
but apparently the women's team won the women's National College Championship.
Good job, UConn.
So UConn has swept.
Connecticut threw a party.
They did. The University of Connecticut Huskies made a triumphant return to the NCAA tournament this year, winning the national championship Monday night after the school was barred from competition in 2013 for poor academic performance.
Mm.
But UConn's graduation rate for male basketball players is still the worst of any team in the 2014 tournament. UConn graduates 8% of its players. 8%. According to the most recent NCAA statistics. To put it another way, of the 12 players who started as freshmen 8 years ago, exactly one managed to finish a college degree or leave UConn in a good academic standing. One out of 12. The University of Florida, whom the Huskies beat to advance to the championship, has a graduation success rate of 60%. The University of Kentucky playing... They played in the championship. Graduation rate of 82%. Wow.
That's a difference.
That's quite the difference. Quite the difference, yeah. Floyd Mayweather bet on UConn to win both of their games in the 2014 Final Four, and as usual, he came out a winner himself.
Of course.
This dude has made the news quite often for his outrageous bets, even if some of them have turned out to be more of a hoax. And while Mayweather's bets only brought home $75,000 this time, the boxing champion does seem to have unusually good luck.
That's more than we make in a year.
That's more than I'll ever make in my life. Since 2010, Mayweather has tweeted over 50 betting slips, totaling winnings close to $4 million.
Gosh.
Wow. Teenagers are buying more iPhones, Doug. No?
Nah.
They're also getting more interested in buying an iWatch. By some company, it found that 61% of teens owned an iPhone, up from 55% in the fall of 2013, and 67% expected their next phone to be an iPhone 2, and 17% of teenagers suggested they would buy an iWatch if Apple launched it for $350 this year. I don't care about a watch. I don't need
a
watch.
Yeah, I don't know. At first, I thought it was like, ooh, Dick Tracy or Inspector Gadget, and then I realized I'd be on speakerphone all the time.
All the time. Oh, man, the other day in the airport,
weird.
There was this lady, and she was just sitting there in the concourse there and just had her phone on speaker, just talking to... She called multiple people on speakerphone, just talking as loud. They were loud, and I thought, I wonder... I wonder if anybody's ever told her, you know, you're not, that's kind of, it's not rude. It's kind of rude. Not everybody wants to hear your conversation. It's not like I was, you know, irate or anything like that. But it made me wonder, it's like, why would somebody not tell, you know, how do you miss that? How do you miss that lesson?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a speakerphone fan.
I don't want everybody hearing my conversation anyway. I could be talking about horrible things. I could be plotting murders.
Oh, my God.
I could be telling people where treasure is, you know?
ABC News just announced that Ultimate Warrior has passed away.
We're watching this
I'm
thing.
Trying to find, like...
We're watching it. But
reputable sources.
I haven't seen a police report.
The New York Post is now announcing it. ESPN is now announcing it.
As searchers listen for pings in the Indian Ocean that might help them find the missing Flight 370, news organization Reuters assesses the cost of the hunt after a month and finds that it's on track to become the most expensive search in aviation history. They figure that the militaries of Australia, China, the U.S., and Vietnam have spent $44 million already. That's about the amount spent in a two-year search for the Air France jet that went missing in 2009.
Man.
The $44 million total doesn't take into account civilian aircraft or the cost of accommodating hundreds of intelligence analysts and other personnel worldwide. Add those expenses in, and the total is in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
The Pentagon estimates that the U.S. has spent $3.3 million so far. Australia is leading the search and has borne about half the cost, though Prime Minister Tony Abbott said the nation may ask others to defray its expenses later.
Hmm.
Man, I hope they find that plane. Now, last night we heard that they heard more pings in the ocean because I know that they had lost track. So we might find it soon. You never know. It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
There is a plane that is lost in our modern world. We don't know where it is. On a nature hike along Germany's Baltic coast in 1913, 20-year-old Richard Platt scrawled a note on a postcard, shoved it in a brown beer bottle, corked it, and tossed it in the ocean.
1913? Wow.
Where it traveled, no one knows for sure. Doug doesn't know. Steve-O doesn't know.
I don't.
But it was pulled out of the Baltic Sea by a fisherman last month, not far from where Platt's first tossed it. It's thought to be the world's oldest message in a bottle.
Message in a bottle. Should have had that ready, my bad.
Message in a bottle. Do you think it's in there? Because I could repeat the whole story.
No.
After Platts was identified as the author of the note, a Berlin-based genealogical researcher located 62-year-old Angela Erdmann, his granddaughter.
Wow.
Erdmann says she never met Platts, who was her mother's father. He died in 1946 at age 54. The bottle is now in a museum. Much of the ink on the postcard has been rendered illegible.
Yeah. Sorry. That's over 100 years old.
Wow. That's 101 years old. The oldest message in a bottle. Doug, I will throw a message in a bottle into the skate park, and 100 years from now, you will come back and reclaim it. You will live, Doug.
I read a really sad story last week about a man who they had to find because they were doing some renovations on a home and found a time capsule in this home. And they started going through it and didn't know what it was, whose it was. So they had to do a bunch of research, go back to find like original owners of the home, all this crazy stuff. And this guy lived like halfway across the country.
Wow.
And his wife had made this incredible time capsule, didn't tell him. And it was like love notes and all these incredible things.
Aww.
And they gave it to this old dude and he just, it was like, so sweet and sad. I cried.
Is that
I'm not gonna lie.
Was that not the plot of Up?
Because right shortly after she made the time capsule,
oh no,
she was killed in a car accident. Mm-mm. In like the 60s or something like
oh
that.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like in Up. Because like the house love. Was yeah. his time capsule, you know?
Oh.
And that was. Oh my gosh.
If you want to cry, go Google that story.
I'm crying right now on the inside of my heart,
oh,
Doug.
Oh, so sweet, man. Just this old dude just talking about the love of his life.
Oh, good grief.
Just getting love notes and all this all these years later.
Oh, Bat Kid. This is another heartwarming story.
This is a heartwarming story.
Bat Kid just keeps on being too cool for words. Tuesday, he threw out the first pitch at the San Francisco Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Scott, a.k.a. Bat Kid, saved the day once again, tossing out the first pitch to Matt Cain at the San Francisco Giants home opener. Of course, the little cancer survivor hero arrived in style with Batman and a Lamborghini for receiving a rousing standing ovation from the crowd. That's what I'm talking about.
Bat Kid.
Doing it right.
It's pretty great.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton chose a strange venue to drop one of her biggest hints, well, yet, that she will be running for president. Speaking to the Marketo Marketing Nation Summit 2014, the marketing event of the year, Clinton reportedly said, "I am thinking about it," when asked of her 2016 intentions. She also joked to the crowd of 3,500 marketers, many of whom paid $1,195 to attend the event, "I'm actually here to get some marketing advice." Jokey, jokey, joke.
I see what she did there.
I don't, because I'm stupid. An English teacher at McKinley High School, we're not sure the city, we saw a picture of this last night, received a letter from one of her students that was taped to the door of the classroom.
Oh, man.
According to a posting on Reddit, the 101-word letter was full of grammatical, spelling errors, and
profanity.
Foul language.
Yeah.
And name-calling directed at the teacher. And how did she respond? By correcting all of the students' mistakes.
It was brilliant.
It was. The teacher went through and sliced and diced the letter in red marker. At the bottom, the teacher had one last smackdown from the student by writing, "Please use your education appropriately. Proofreading takes 5 minutes and keeps you from looking stupid." Pretty funny letter.
I loved it.
Well, I'll try to find it with the words blurred out or whatever.
Yeah, the letter was really lame.
It was. This kid was really upset about writing a paper. So he got his teacher, y'all. He got it and also proved that he never listened, ever.
Anonymously wrote a letter, taped it to her door.
It was hilarious.
It was great.
Oh, my gosh. That's weird. Florida deputies spotted a man driving down an interstate. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, no.
He was driving too close to other vehicles. He was illegally switching lanes, and he was speeding. Once stopped, deputies learned the man had a suspended driver's license.
He had suspenders on.
And suspenders. And a search of his car turned up lots of illegal drugs. If you're going to make a drug run, you should not be driving like an idiot.
But if you're going to make a drug run, chances are you are an idiot.
Yes. So it's important that you not drive like one. That's crazy. And other news from Florida. What is in the water in Florida?
I don't know, man.
And this is going to be our final little bit because this is crazy. Security camera footage captured a topless woman wearing nothing but her underwear thrashing a McDonald's restaurant in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Wow.
There's no audio, but the woman appears to be screaming as she bangs her head on the counter, empties a refrigerator, and throws food around.
What?
But she must have worked up quite the sweat because then she stops to eat some ice cream straight from the soft serve machine. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do it when you're thrashing around in a McDonald's.
Ridiculous.
You can expect to find me topless in a McDonald's, throwing food around and just eating ice cream out of that soft serve machine later today.
I am lactose intolerant, so
you should come with me.
I can't do it. I'm sorry, buddy. You had me right up until the ice cream.
Maybe it's dairy free. Maybe it's dairy free. There's got to be a dairy free option.
Anything. Well, actually, it's probably edible free.
This
Everything
is what we do.
It's probably
we go to McDonald's. They don't have dairy free ice cream. We sue them for negligence. We sue them for discrimination against the lactose intolerant.
You.
They're a restaurant.
You're from Florida.
My wife is.
Oh, man. 6:45, which means it's time for birthdays. Oh.
Oh, Doug, you are in mourning.
Good
in
morning.
Honor. Good morning.
Yes. In honor. Felt it's only right this morning.
Yep.
The ultimate warrior.
So sad.
It is so sad.
If it's true.
I think it is. The way WWE is now, I don't think they'd fake that because they're more PG and they're really business conscious.
Really?
Stock, yeah. I don't think they'd do that thing now.
Okay.
Maybe, like, late 90s.
See, and that's like when I was watching.
Me too.
So
that's why I'm kind of like, no, I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, I think it's real. Especially if Vince McMahon tweets it.
It's on Fox News now. It's on Deadspin, Huffington, CBS, Yahoo Sports,
everybody's
New York
it.
Post. Yeah, everybody's announcing it. All right.
He literally legally changed his name to Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon couldn't use the rights to his name.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was... Did you ever see the documentary that WWE put out about Ultimate Warrior? The whole thing was just, like, sarcastic. They painted him up to be this crazy person. And I'm sure he was a little crazy. But
yeah.
you saw it? You know how the whole thing, they're, like, making fun of him the whole time? Like, even his friends, they're telling stories about him, and they're just kind of making fun of him.
Ugh.
And that would be why it took 18 years for him to come back to WWE.
Yeah, because they made money off that thing.
Yeah, he had a new DVD out, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, his rebuttal to all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it said that he had been making a career as a public speaker. Like, that's what he's been doing since wrestling.
People, yeah, there was lots of stories of people who would run into him in Santa Fe, and he was just, like, a jerk to them.
Yeah.
But I guess, too, if you're the Ultimate Warrior, you just have people come up to you nonstop all the time.
I bet people would come up to him and just shake him. And he would go, I'm going to kill you.
Well, today is April 9th, 2014. It is the 100th day of the year.
Nice!
266 days remaining in the year. I'm just going to roll with this music for a while.
Okay.
First up, Playboy magazine founder...
I know his name.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it starts with an H.
Hugh Hefner.
Yes,
celebrating a birthday today.
It's not Hillary.
That guy's old. 90. I'm going really old.
Hugh Hefner today is 84.
He is 88 years old.
Wow, I was actually close.
Yeah, man.
I was trying to be mean.
Next up from Sex and the City.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
No, she also...
Was she in Mannequin?
She was Miranda Hubbles in Sex and the City and all the movies.
That doesn't help me.
No. Is that Mannequin?
None of us have ever seen
was
that.
Was she in Mannequin too?
She was in Little Manhattan, The Babysitters, The Manhattan Project, Let It Ride, Baby's Day Out. Cynthia Nixon.
I don't know.
Okay. She today is 46.
43.
Today she is 48 years old.
Oh, God.
Next up from Gossip Girl.
Gosh, dude. Doug, is there anybody's birthday we care about?
She was also played some songs with Cobra Starship. Leighton Mister.
Nope.
29! Mister. She is 26.
She is 28.
Woo!
Next up, singer and from Summerland, Jesse McCartney.
Yep, I'm about to give up on birthdays.
If Mitch was here, this would be great.
Yeah.
It would be great. I am going to tell you guys a story right now about Jesse McCartney. He is the best.
I cannot wait
to see him in concert.
Oh, it's a dude.
Is it a dude?
Yes.
He is the best. I can't wait to see him in concert with all of my girlfriends. We're going to go and have a great time.
27.
Oh. 29.
He is 27 today, Steve-O.
Oh my gosh, I knew you were the president of the fan club, and that you and I could be best friends, and now it is confirmed in my mind and my heart.
Next up from Snow White and the Huntsman.
Kristen Stewart.
And the Twilight films.
Kristen Stewart!
Yes.
She who does not smile.
She smiles. It just looks like she's in pain.
Yeah.
She's such a great actress, though. Come on, man. Kristen Stewart is... 30.
Kristen Stewart today is 28.
24.
Whoa. She's 24?
24 years old today. And the final birthday this morning.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
The final one this morning from Flight of the Phoenix, Vantage Point, Smart People, The Day After Tomorrow, Soul Surfer, The Parent Trap, The Words, G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, The Rookie, Playing for Keeps.
Dennis Quaid?
Yep.
Yes.
Innerspace!
You forgot Jaws 3.
You always forget their best movie,
he
Doug.
Was in Jaws 3,
stuff,
Doug.
No! Innerspace! Martin Short, Meg Ryan, Innerspace!
The Big Easy.
Oh, I'm going to throw something. Can I throw
Dragon
something?
Dragonheart. Legion.
Say Jaws 3.
Inner Space. Say it, Doug.
Inner Space.
Gosh!
Any given Sunday.
What's wrong with you, Doug? What's wrong? Is it? Are you that thrown off?
I'm reading through his giant list of movies he's been in.
Inner Space should have been the first thing you said. And I would have said, Martin Short! And you would have said, nope. And I would have said, Dennis Quaid!
If you would have said Inner Space, and then you would have said Jaws 3, and then you would have said all those other movies, I would have said Dennis Quaid.
Well, it is Dennis Quaid's birthday today.
How old is he, Doug?
You tell me.
Dang it. I tried to get him.
56.
Okay, today, that man, his name is Quaid.
I'm Quaid.
He is... That's from Total Recall.
Yeah, I know.
I wish I had a better Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. My friend Gavin at work, in the stock room, he had a pretty good one. wait, what'd you say?
I don't even remember. It's been so long. What did I say?
58.
I'd say 55.
He is 60 years old today.
Dang. I didn't get any.
Going on to dates in history, on this day, in what year, Robert Cavalier de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed it for France and named it Louisiana.
Oh, gross.
So wait. This was before it was part of the Union? This was like the discovery of Louisiana.
Yeah. Long time ago.
1547.
This was in... Oh, gosh. You're close, though. It's way back when. 1534.
1682. Oh, my bad.
Well, it was way back.
I was
back.
Off by over
we don't know
years.
Things.
On this day in what year, passing by a single vote, the United States Senate ratified a treaty with Russia for the purchase of Alaska.
Ooh.
Okay.
Seward's Folly.
So,
1918.
1921. 1867. Wow. So then, when did it become a state?
It became a state like in the
19.
It was one of the last. I think Hawaii was the last state.
Okay.
We don't know, Doug. Go ahead.
On this day, what year? On opening day at Ebbets Field, new home of the Brooklyn Dodgers, fans had to wait an hour to get in because nobody brought the key.
Oh.
Then there was no flag to salute for the national anthem.
Oh, my gosh.
The Dodgers went on to lose to Philadelphia 1-0.
Well,
that guy
was
fired.
Yeah.
Ebbets Field. So I'm going to say 1949.
I'm going to say 1951.
1913.
Wow.
Gosh.
On this day in what year, Warner Brothers premiered the first 3D film entitled House of Wax.
Oh, House of
Wax.
Wait
a second.
Really?
Wait a second.
Not the one with Paris Hilton.
Well, yeah. Because here's the deal.
Yeah. Yeah,
We heard a different thing.
We need to make a phone call.
We need to make a phone call, Doug. Should we go for what they said?
Yeah, what did they say?
1953.
That was a very good year. I'm going to guess 1953.
Yeah.
It was?
It was 1953.
Now let us give you some background, because on the way to work this morning, we heard our buddies over on the Edge.
Buck and Dex.
Doing
what?
This.
A brand new game they just invented.
Called This Day in History. But they said it was a different film.
Yeah, but the year
they
was
didn't
1953.
Say House of Wax. They said it was a different movie, and it was in 1953.
Mm.
Doug, what are we supposed to do now?
We're going to have to get the news team on this one.
We need to call them.
Yes.
Why are you playing this?
Because on this day in what year, NASA announced the selection of the United States' first 7 astronauts, which the news media quickly dubbed the Mercury 7.
Did you mean NASA?
NASA is correct. NASA. Don't make fun of my kid, jerk.
Sorry.
Jack calls it NASA.
NASA.
Yes.
It's
we
cool.
said, that's right, bro. Yeah. NASA, space program.
That's right.
Heck
NASA.
Yeah, NASA.
It's NASM.
It's my
it's totally NASM.
You know what?
What?
I don't make fun of your stupid accent.
I don't have any kids.
I think it's great. Chrissy gets mad at me when I correct him on things.
I haven't corrected him.
I know, I haven't either, because I don't want to die.
He's not a white kid, is he?
I don't know.
Wait till he gets older and he starts correcting you on things.
Oh,
Doug!
Oh.
All right, NASA, let's see.
I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
Mercury 7.
Man, I think they have my home.
Before the Apollo 13? Because it's the 7.
Maybe.
1967.
1971.
1965.
Ah!
On this day in what year, Major League Baseball's first indoor game was played at the opening of the Houston Astrodome?
Ooh, the Astrodome. Oh, man. Okay. Houston Astros.
We should ask Brandon.
1972.
1974.
1965.
Oh! And last but not least,
we're just
on this day in what year...
No, wait, you got one.
Baghdad, Iraq, fell to American forces.
Oh. Mission accomplished.
Wait. But in what?
In war.
Yeah, but like...
I can't tell you which one.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go...
That's not fair. Because there's like multiple dates.
Yep.
Could be right.
I'm going to say 1992.
All right. Gosh, I'm going to say, because I obviously paid attention, I'll go near you. All right, 1991.
2003.
Oh. Okay, it was the second time.
Think of the song. Think of the song playing.
I wondered if you were giving us a context clue. No. Toby Keith.
Is that who this is?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Don't look like I'm supposed to know Toby Keith music.
I'm glad you don't.
This became like America's national anthem for like a 3-year stretch there.
If
for
you
a while.
Lived where?
In America.
In America.
In Bristol.
In America.
You don't remember this?
No.
What is Bristol?
Bristol? It's the racetrack. It's one of the NASCAR.
How do you know that? Not Bristol? Know this song? What's going on with you?
Sorry, everybody.
Steve-O's not a patriot.
Today is National Former Prisoner of War Recognition Day.
All right.
It's Name Yourself Day. It's Chinese Almond Cookie Day.
Ooh.
Wait. That's kind of messed up.
What? Name Yourself Day?
All of the above.
I named myself All of the Above Man.
Those Chinese almond cookies are weird. They throw me off. I always got mad when I got that instead of a fortune cookie, because at least a fortune cookie... Although it tastes like plastic.
It's like a fun little game.
You're prepared for it. That almond cookie was deceptive. Because it looks so good.
Yeah, a fortune cookie is like a toy that you can eat.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
It. Yeah. We got a great show for you today. Man, I'm still like thrown off by the Ultimate Warrior.
We need to just accept it and move on.
Yeah. According to a lot of reputable news sources now, it's true that the Ultimate Warrior has passed away. Which is very eerie considering this last Monday, he was on WWE Raw for the first time in years and was talking about his legacy and when his heart took its final beat. What?
Interesting stuff.
Thanks, WWE, for not letting me trust anybody ever anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's part of your stupid stories. Ah.
Is WWE Hydra?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we got Shock Therapy Live. Speaking of Hydra in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Max from Astro Zombies. Comics Corner. Right around the corner, we got The Fray, some Cage the Elephant, and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for some traffic so you know what's going on.
Yeah!
There's no accidents to report on our map. If you see something out there, give us a call. Right now, it looks like traffic's getting backed up at I-25 in Paseo right around Jefferson, like it has been every morning for the past few months, and it will be until December when all that stuff's finished, hopefully. But that's all to really report right now. We also have some traffic towards Coors and Ellison over on the west side. But if you're driving out there this morning, be careful and pay attention to what you're doing. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch.
Yay!
4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. Michael's over there making drinks.
Yeah, making drinks and making dreams come true.
Ah, yes. Speaking of dreams coming true, I just saw this list, and I'm not going to lie, I was a little shocked.
Oh.
Did you see this list of the top movie franchises of all time?
No.
The most successful?
No.
What do you think the most successful film franchise of all time is?
Well, it's Marvel now, isn't it?
That's a good guess.
But I would say, like, all one together, maybe Harry Potter.
All one together? Oh, okay. Well, what? Marvel? Could Marvel count?
Yeah. Yes.
According to this list, you're right. Marvel just took over the top spot. Wow. With 9 movies in the same universe, $2.4 billion in counting, which just took over first place because second place was $2.39 billion.
Wow.
Wow. And, hey, they still have another film coming up.
What was that?
That was Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. New trilogy.
Yeah. They got a new trilogy coming up, so that could... That could top that. I'm a little surprised because they are the only two film franchises in history to top the $2 billion mark.
Oh, wow.
Because third on the list at $1.9 billion, they have seven movies? How is that? Yes. 7 movies in this film franchise. It's kind of deceiving because to me there's only 6.
Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Star Wars came in third.
Are they counting that Ewok movie?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's just a 7 films, but now you say the Ewok movie. I was thinking the Clone Wars animated film.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It was The Witch of Endor or something like that.
I feel like time has a lot to do with it, because check this out. Fourth on the list, they have 24 movies in their franchise, and they're at $1.9 billion.
James Bond! Yep.
They have 24 movies.
How many are in Star Trek?
Star Trek isn't even on the top 10 list, so I couldn't tell you.
Super nerds.
Yeah, top 10 film franchises of all time. Marvel Cinematic Universe just took over the top spot. Harry Potter second. Star Wars third. But I feel like with Episode 7, 8, and 9,
yeah,
that could skyrocket.
Well, the real winner here, I guess, is Disney.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yep. Number 5 is Batman. He has 8 movies.
Hey,
totaling 1.8. Number 6 is Lord of the Rings. There's 6 films so far. 1.6 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only...
There's 6.
Total.
So 5 so far.
5 so far.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're getting reports too, and this is on a serious note real quick, so just send some prayers out. There's been like a stabbing in Pennsylvania.
Whoa, what?
20 students have been injured.
Oh, my gosh.
Just
at a high school?
At a high school. So, keep the families of those involved in your prayers, please.
Yeah.
That's like that really is breaking news. Like,
break,
right now.
Like just now, yeah, dropped on that according to CNN.com.
Yes. It says at least 20 students were injured in a Wednesday morning stabbing incident at the Pittsburgh area's Franklin Regional Senior High School. An emergency management agency spokesman said 4 were flown to hospitals by helicopter. That's pretty much all. A suspect was in custody after 8 students were stabbed Wednesday morning. Wow. So not a lot of information released. Just keep those families in your prayers. What a crazy day already.
Yeah.
Good.
Wow.
There you go. Over in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Be praying for that entire situation right now as it develops. So 8 stabbed, it says, and at least 20 injured. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's what we know so far. We will absolutely keep you up to date as news breaks. As we said, it just broke according to CNN.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man. Okay, coming up, I want to talk about this. We mentioned it a little bit. Teens more and more excited for the idea of a phone / watch.
Hmm.
I want to talk about phone etiquette.
Phone etiquette.
We mentioned talking on speakerphone.
Yes.
This iWatch thing, I don't know if I can get behind it. We'll talk about the proper phone etiquette. What is your biggest annoyance as far as phone etiquette? Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Oh, Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Good morning.
Trouble has arrived for you.
In the form of us.
We are here for trouble.
Can't spell trouble without a T.
Can't spell trouble without
I was out of smack
us.
Talk.
Troubles. So let's talk a little bit about phone etiquette.
Oh, man, yeah. According to a survey, more teens are buying iPhones, actually, which is interesting. They're also getting more interested in the iWatch. This is according to a survey released Tuesday by analysts at Piper Jaffra. Survey, which questioned approximately 7,500 teens across the United States, found that 61% owned an iPhone. That's up from 55% last fall. And 67% expected their next phone to be an iPhone as well.
There you go.
They said the survey's big surprise was the new interest in the iWatch. Apple is widely expected to release it in the second half of 2014. Right now, we've seen so many other people, Samsung, one of them.
Yeah.
Rocking these watch and phones.
It was originally a kickstarted thing, right? Because Joey got one.
Joey got one, but you can't. That's not the same thing because you can like check your text messages and stuff.
Yeah,
and you can like call, but then you still have to use your phone.
So, okay, so it's kind of like a remote,
kind of. Yeah, basically. But more and more kids are wanting these like
kids.
I say kids, but it seems like more and more it's just becoming popular. They expect Apple to sell 5 to 10 million iWatches in the first year of shipment alone.
Look at these things.
Yeah.
They look very interesting, but does this mean that you're going to be talking on speakerphone the whole time?
Yeah, it's got it, the setup. But see, that's what's frustrating, because you're going to look like you're from the future. You're going to have this watch, and then you're going to have the little stupid hands-free thing in your ear as well, possibly. I don't know.
Possibly. Are you going to run a cord from your watch up to your ear? I don't want to.
It could be
that.
Bluetooth, but either way, I mean, Bluetooth. You're still.
I'm still in the cord. It's going to be a long.
Wait, cordless phones?
Cordless. You guys have cordless phones? I was reading an article the other day. It was talking about cell phones and technology and all, you know, how it's changed, gotten so much better. And the guy said, I still remember the first time I saw somebody walking around with a cell phone. It was the early 90s in New York City. And he was from, you know, a more rural area, kind of like the Midwest or whatever. And he was in New York City visiting a friend. And he said people were walking around with these giant gray boxes.
Oh, yeah. The Zach Morris phone.
And he said, he was like, what are those? And his friend was like, well, that's a mobile phone. And he said, it doesn't have to be plugged in? You can walk around with it outside?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. This is interesting, though, this new trend. It's growing. Apple's expected to release this second half of 2014. Gosh. Some are suggesting a launch price of $350.
For the watch.
For this watch. Phone.
It looks fancy. I'll give them that. It also looks like the thing I used at Disney World to be a Magic Pass thing with the beep beep.
Well, it got me thinking because people do have these watch phones now, and I'm not a fan of speakerphone.
Mm-mm.
I'm not. I'm just not. If ever I'm on speakerphone in the car, it's because I didn't have my hands-free thing, and I don't want to be illegal, so I'll put it on speakerphone. And if you're in the car, I'll say Chrissy or whoever. Which is actually usually only Chrissy.
Yes. Except for the few times that you've called the president.
Yeah. Minus those times, which we don't talk about.
We don't talk about those times.
Yeah, we don't talk about those times. All of the times it's usually my wife, and I'll say, honey, you're on speakerphone. This is obnoxious. I apologize.
And then I'll say, I love you, Chrissy.
Yeah. And then usually I just can't have a conversation.
Yep. It's the best.
So with that being said, phone etiquette, 505-338-3700. You were just recently in the airport
where
a woman was on her cell phone, on speakerphone.
Yeah, just talking. Yeah, man, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. And then the other person was like,
Well, that's what I told her. I said, you don't need to go to the supermarket today. You need to wait until Tuesday.
Well, that's Becky for you. I mean, she just always like has to go to her thing. That's not true.
That's not true. You know Betty's a liar. And the truth is not in her.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Becky. You said Betty. I thought we were talking Becky.
No, can you not hear me?
Yeah, okay.
Here, I'll talk louder.
Oh, man!
And it's funny, because you see that everyone, the collective look on everybody's face is the same. It's like, hey.
I feel bad because I have been rude to my wife at times if I am at the grocery store, mm-hmm. and she calls because it's like, hey, did you forget to get string cheese? We need string cheese. Did you get string cheese?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, Marty, I'm about to check out. Okay. And if I get to the checkout and I'm on the phone, I just go, I'll just call you back, and I'll just hang up.
It's over.
I'll have to, because I cannot engage in another human being mm-hmm. and be on the phone at the same time, because if I'm in front of somebody, whether it's the bank or at the grocery store,
the
or
gas station,
anywhere, yeah. and I'm in front of another human being, and I just feel like a jerk.
What about the drive-thru? That's a tricky one.
Well, that's, no. Usually if drive-thru,
yes.
and I'm on my phone, which I shouldn't be because I'm driving.
Right.
I just go, hey, hold on, and I'll just throw my phone in my lap.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it. I don't even like the, hi.
Hang on.
Oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. No, you. I'm talking to you. Not you. I'm sorry.
Right.
You. 505-338-3700. Proper phone etiquette.
Proper phone etiquette.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, speaking of engaging with people, that is my pet peeve for the phone, is when somebody walks into the room or the house or whatever, and they're on the cell phone.
Oh, man.
Because then it's like, okay, I'd like to say, hi, honey, how was
right.
your day? Anything happened? And I can't talk to you because you're sitting there talking to your mom.
Yeah,
mm.
yeah.
I know. Who calls their mom? What a jerk.
I may or may not have gotten in trouble over that very thing. So
I've done that.
Yeah, if I walk in and I'm on the phone, especially if I haven't seen my wife all day and she's just standing there waiting to hug me and kiss me and talk about her day, and I'm on the phone just like, hold on, sorry, it's Joey.
Yeah, yeah, bro. Yeah, no, I know. Oh, it's crazy.
Star Wars.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We need to work on that, men.
Men. So, manly men.
Good call. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Yeah, I'm bad at that. It's the worst, especially if somebody calls you right before you're walking in the door from the garage yeah. or something.
I try to give a signal if I walk in and I'm on the phone. It's like, hey, I'm on the, or put it down. It's like,
hello.
Hey, I'm on the phone. It's important. I'm sorry. And if it's not important, I try to hang up before I come in.
Yeah. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me tell you what we did in my country. It was very old. Lots of snow everywhere. We had rocks, and we got paper, and we rubber band the paper through the rocks, and we threw them
paper.
In the general area where our friends were.
Yeah.
Sometimes got there. It took really long to get a text back. Really frustrating when all they said was LOL.
Hello. LOL.
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 Lol. Okay. You have a great day now. Bye-bye.
I don't know what that is.
I want to go to an accent class.
Oh, man.
I do, so that doesn't happen to me anymore.
Static.
Hey, guys. Hey. Phone etiquette.
Phone etiquette.
I'm a general contractor. I'm always on the phone, in my car, on hands-free. Don't worry.
All right.
Good.
But even at home, you get a ring, and you got your TV on, you got your stereo on. Even in the car, turn it off before you even answer.
Mm-hmm. That's an important point.
Have 100%, you know, clarity of who you're talking to and what you're going to tell them and this and that. And you don't have the Simpsons on in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. That's
I tell that to my brothers all the time. They always have their stuff flaring and they're like, what? I can't hear you. Well, turn your crap off.
Yeah. It happens. Maybe they're doing it to you on purpose.
Oh, man. All right, you too.
See ya.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Phone etiquette.
Phone etiquette.
Static.
Hey, I don't know if this counts, but can we talk about how people send really long text messages?
Yes, that counts.
When you should just pick up the phone and call somebody. I literally Agreed. Have someone that sent me 42 text messages in a row to say something.
Whoa! See, here's the thing. If somebody texts me a question, and it's a big enough question that I have to answer it longer than a tweet,
yeah,
I'm calling because of inflection, because if it's a big answer, I'm like, man, one, I hate texting. Mm-hmm. I just hate it. So I'd rather just call anyways because it takes less time for me than typing out a 7-paragraph text. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's a good call.
All right.
All right.
Have
thanks.
A good day, guys.
Right,
see
you.
Ya. No.
Yeah, I'm not about that.
The thing is, you have to know who you're talking to because some people prefer to speak.
Through text? Like,
they prefer text
Man,
messages.
It gets lost in translation, though. If you're having a big conversation.
It can a lot of times. Yeah. But I have friends that's their preferred method.
Or like Haytel. I'm okay with Haytel.
Yeah, you try to call them, they'll never answer. Ever. They'll never call you back. But if you text them, immediate response.
Oh, it's annoying.
So to me, it becomes all about making that question as short and simple as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I hate when I text somebody and they text me right back a question and then I'm like, I'm just going to call them and they don't answer. And I'm like,
Whoa.
I know you see me calling. You just texted me.
Yeah.
Oh. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Hey, guys. It's SD.
Hey.
So when my husband and I met, like we met a couple months before I moved back 2 Christmases ago. New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and so we had basically 1 week that we were a couple in Illinois when I was going to Bible college there, and then I moved here, and so the main part of our relationship and the beginning of our relationship was through text messages, phone calls, and Skype, and I really irritated my family and my friends when I got here because I would always be texting him
mm-hmm.
or I had to call him at night no matter what I was doing, even if I was having a sleepover.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, it was like, I don't think that what I did was right, but I do chalk it up to I was completely infatuated and I really felt like I needed to keep that connection strong. And
the only way to do that is to talk for 8 hours at night.
Yeah.
The other person's
exactly.
like, you hang up.
No,
you
hang
you
up.
Just have to have super long-winded conversations every time you talk. Every time.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for calling. Yeah.
So we posted it on Facebook. We're talking about proper phone etiquette. You got any pet peeves? Let us know. Give us some tips.
Yeah, we need some help.
Yeah, so let us know. Facebook.com/MySaticRadio, or you can give us a call.
Especially with the rapidly advancing technology, according to a survey, more teenagers are into this new iWatch idea.
The teenagers in the iWatch.
They say, an iWatch of some kind. Apple is allegedly releasing an iWatch later, 2014.
Could be cool.
And we're going to have a bunch of people walking around Dick Tracy status, staring at their wrists, talking the whole time.
More ways for people to avoid watching where they're going.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Static.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Steamer.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. You guys are on speakerphone.
Who's Steamer? I remember long ago, an ancient legend.
Okay, so pet peeve.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah?
You're in a conversation with someone. I understand if, like, someone gets a phone call and it's, like, a child or a spouse saying, hey, man, I got to take this to my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? But when they get a text and they have to read it and respond to it while you're talking to them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pet peeve, man.
Ooh. I don't know what you're talking about.
Me either.
There's no conviction in my heart from what you're saying right now. I never do that every day. Oh, he hung up.
That is a pet peeve.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve.
You say goodbye to me.
You never say goodbye.
Oh.
Never say
proper
goodbye.
Etiquette. You gotta say goodbye. I hate it when I'm watching movies or something.
I love
it. And they just like, they're like, yeah, the bomb's on the train. It's gonna, all right. And then they just put the phone back in their pocket. And I'm like, you didn't say bye. You have to say bye so the other person knows they have to hang up.
No.
You have to say goodbye.
Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't say goodbye. And no. I feel like I'm in a movie. It's the best.
I'm gonna start doing that from now on. I'm just gonna be like, all right, man, cool. Click. Start hanging up.
I'll say, man, he's cool.
Oh, Jack Bauer status. Static.
A pet peeve of mine is when you say, ask someone for their number, and they say, oh, I have Facebook on my phone. You can just message me, and I'll get your message. And you're like, you want to talk in person? That's Facebook email through your phone.
Yep.
That really irritates me.
Yep.
I feel like that person's just letting you down easy.
I guess.
Yeah. That's
so
sad.
Rude.
What a bunch of rude people.
What a
rude. How phones got so involved in our generation is ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty
Hang
much.
On, what'd you say? I was texting somebody.
Thanks for the call.
It's okay, I just Facebooked you guys.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
Incredible. All right, okay. You too.
Bye.
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 Static.
Okay, biggest pet peeve when it comes to phones and technology, okay? Group messaging.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's talk about
God. It.
Like, literally last week, I was in a group message with at least 10 people, and within 15 minutes, there were over 100 text messages
I hate that.
On my phone.
Yep.
I can't even stand it when, like, the DJs, we have a little group thing, if one person texts, the next thing I know, I get responses. Well, actually, usually it's pretty much Celeste and Matt, and then me and Mitch just have to keep reading and reading. And then reading, and and it's like, zzz, and I keep going, unfollow, unfollow. Like, I'll text back, unfollow, please, unfollow. Yeah, I can't stand group texts.
Hang on.
It's happening.
Celeste, Mitchell, and Matt. Oh, okay.
Wait. All right. And okay, what have I typed? Right. What have I typed
thanks,
in this message?
Thanks for the call.
Zero.
Yeah, all God right. bless. Have a good day.
You too,
that's
man.
Funny. That's right. funny that you said that Mitch never replies to the group text, because... Mitch is one of the fastest texters I have ever met in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
It's like quick draw McGraw with that girl.
Yeah.
You'll send her a message, hey, blah, 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 from this at work. And then it's like, within instantaneously, it's like, next thing you know, you got 100 replies. Celeste is still texting.
She's still texting.
You know what? I was thinking about this. Facebook has introduced this thing where one of the bans of my existence on Facebook has been the group messages.
Yeah.
Because you have your friends that are going on mission trips and they all need money, you know, and then you have your friends that work at radio stations and they need money too. You can donate mystacradio.com. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. And you get the group text,
yeah,
or the group message, and now you can leave the group. And it did not used to be that way.
Yeah.
And so there would be people that you had no idea who they were replying to this message, and you would get a notification. And so I wish that cell phone providers would introduce a leave the group text option.
That would be awesome.
It would be huge. And if you're out there and you're a software programmer, I just gave you your next pay raise.
Yeah.
I just gave it to you. There you go.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have two things that annoy the ever-living crap out of me when it comes to cell phone etiquette.
What?
One of them is when you're on the phone or you're talking to somebody who's on the phone and, like, they get a text while they're on the phone and they're like, hold on a second. And then they respond to the text while you're talking to this person on the phone.
Yep.
And all you hear is clickety click, click, click. You're like, hello? Are you hanging up on me? Is this seriously happening? This is seriously happening. My other thing that drives me absolutely insane is when you're talking to somebody and then out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh!
Come on.
I see what he did.
He wanted to do that.
See what he did.
He wanted to do that.
That was good. That was good.
That was pretty solid.
Dave the drummer, Dave. Neko and Green.
Yeah, what'd he say?
He manages a Firehouse Subs.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't come up to my register and place an order for the person that's on the phone.
Oh.
That happens regularly. I'll be at a place like that, and it's like, says, I hate having to ask you what they want on their sandwich.
What,
and it's like,
what do they want?
Okay, hold on. Honey, what did you, okay. No, it's, yeah, I got ham and cheese, right. But what did, okay. Okay, lettuce,
No, no lettuce. No lettuce.
Oh, spinach. I'm sorry, spinach. Okay.
Wait, they don't have spinach?
The black olives or the... Okay, black olives and banana peppers. Oh, not banana peppers. I'm sorry, not banana peppers. Bell peppers.
I get it.
I was wrong. Bell peppers.
You're drawing me up.
So, okay.
I'm going to burn
it.
Right,
I think that's it for veggies. Okay.
That's it for veggies. Now we move to the cheeses. Let's move on to the cheeses.
Okay, like mustard and mayo. What about the oil and vinegar and stuff? Okay. Can I get like a line, just like a line of mustard? Or mayonnaise.
Nah,
I'm sorry.
Too much.
Mayonnaise.
Oh. He already put mustard.
He put two lines. Is that going to be okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. Can you start over? Can we?
No. So what you do in that situation is you go in with a list, right?
That's what I do.
Pre-prepared.
Oh man, if I'm going to pick up food for people, I have to have a written out list beforehand because I cannot be that guy on the phone because it's so annoying.
Yes,
I have been the guy behind the guy on the phone and don't want to be that guy.
No.
So 505-338-3700 is the phone number.
Hey.
Talking about proper cell phone etiquette. You know, this year. The year of the iWatch. Allegedly, Apple is releasing a new iWatch, and these phone watches are trending more and more and more.
They are.
And they make me crazy watching people just kind of like, hey, look at my technology. Look, I'm going to FaceTime this person on my wrist. everybody can hear my conversation. I'm so space age.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at me.
Jed Fernando says when people take phone calls in restrooms.
Okay.
The best ever.
No!
Yes.
Oh, no.
Because you get a glimpse into that person's life.
I'm weird about that. If I walk in and somebody's talking and they're in a stall, I just feel weird because I don't know if they're talking to... Especially if you're in a, you know, a larger bathroom and they take a phone call while you're...
Yeah.
While you're already in there.
Hello?
All of a sudden you get, hey! And you're like, are you talking to me? I'm sorry, you're in a stall. I can't see. Okay. No, honey, hold on. No, hey, Steve-O, sorry, man. I'm on the phone. Totally not awkward at all. I'm in a stall. Not weird at all. Not at all. Not weird.
I hate that. You should just talk to people in the restroom.
No!
You need to establish a sense of community.
No!
Yes.
That's no.
That's
dude.
How you get through it.
That is a sacred. You don't.
Because then you're already talking. You're like, hey, man, take your call. It's all good. I'll be right here if you need me. If you need any information. If you need me to Google something, let me know. I'm right here.
Static.
Hello.
Hey.
Where have you been?
Dude, okay, this is the worst. When you're in a grocery store somewhere, and the person facing you is not facing you with the side revealing the Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then they're, like, talking, and they're like, hundreds of times this happened, man. And I'll turn around, I'll be like, huh? Like, what? Like, were you talking to me, dude? And then all of a sudden he just turns and he's making sure people are watching him and then he starts talking again, you know?
Yep. Always points at the ear like, bro, don't you see my space age ear? I'm obviously on the phone.
Yeah,
whoever wears the blue, that's weak, bro.
Good grief.
Later.
Love you, bro.
Nah.
Oh, pool boy, calling out the Bluetoothers. Hey, they're exercising safety.
Bluetoothing is one of the most confusing things I've ever seen in my life.
Anytime I see it, I feel like, man, 8-year-old me would have been stoked because they look like they've come from Star Trek.
Yes, they do.
They're from the future, and now they're going to have something in their ear and on their wrist and be like, Captain's log.
If you're having a Bluetooth on, you either look like you're a super busy professional or you're a crazy person. Especially the more animated people, because they're walking around and they're using their hands.
Yep.
Or at least that's what I do with my Bluetooth.
Phone lines are still jammed.
Good.
Oh, man.
Hopefully they're not calling us while they're in the bathroom.
Static.
I'm not in the bathroom, but I wanted to talk about the bathroom.
Okay.
Oh, please do.
Okay. My mom does that to me all the time. I'm like talking to her. I'm like, hey, how are you in there?
Oh,
mom,
no!
Stop using the toilet when you're talking to me.
What have you done, Mom?
This happened yesterday. There was this guy in the stall talking on the phone. And he's like talking on the phone. And then he's like,
no! Are you mad? No!
I'm like, what are you doing? Stop it!
That's awesome.
This is just too
terrible.
Much.
That's a man without fear.
No etiquette.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
I hate talking to men in the bathroom or just anyone in the bathroom for that matter.
You should just talk to ladies in the bathroom.
Like, stop talking to me. You can talk to me right outside the door. I'll be fine with that.
Amazing. Thanks for the call, man.
Bye.
All right.
Well, what if there's a ghost in the bathroom? You've got to talk to it.
What is this, the Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Okay. We have to take care of some bills. That's how we do.
That's how we
do. Just before 8 o'clock. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Comics Corner?
Comics Corner. Sans Max.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's going to make it today.
Maximilian!
Well, but we have a ton of books to cover and S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about and Captain America. 2,
yeah, we got a lot to talk about, so that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be doing Comics Corner.
Yay!
Brought to you by Astro Zombies. And, of course, phone etiquette. You can get your thoughts in. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Right back, some 21 Pilots and more. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Good morning! On Static Radio.
Traffic. I hit the time of my life, and I'm stuck in traffic with you now. Yes, I swear, it's the worst. I should have never called you on the phone while I was in the bathroom.
Oh.
There's an accident reported Paseo del Norte East at the river. Traffic is, if you are eastbound on Paseo behind this accident, it is getting pretty backed up. Also, slow going on Coors, where it's intersecting with Alameda and stuff. It's down to about 8 miles an hour. So
that's crazy.
Slow going. Also, typical morning traffic all around this beautiful, fair city of Albuquerque. The sun is out, starting to warm up. There are no trees, so there are no birds. But if there were birds, I'm sure they'd be chirping. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. On the Calvert campus, phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Are we ready for our favorite segment of the week?
I think so.
All right.
Oh, nerds.
To the idiot mobile.
Idiot. Idiot City!
Idiot City!
Comics Corner! Let's do it.
Idiot City!
Comics Corner! Welcome to it! Comics Corner, we do it week in and week out. Review the latest films, comics, nerd news. Comics Corner is always brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com.
Yeah.
Or 232-7800?
And the sad thing that Astro Zombies couldn't bring us today was Max.
Oh.
He woke up late, and he apologizes, and he sends his warmest regards.
I actually got the phone number right without him, I think for the first time ever. He'd be pleased if he weren't still asleep.
Yeah, he would be. Hey, that's an even number right there on our Facebook.
We are at 5,750 likes on our Facebook.
That's a good thing.
Hey, challenge to you listening right now, if you haven't liked
challenge.
Us. Get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Like us and share us with your friends. We had one such friend.
Yes.
Share us with her friends, and we've gone up a few hundy since then.
A few hundy.
It's easy. It helps get the word out. We're a listener-supported station, and it's because of cool things like that. Listeners who come alongside us with monthly contributions, rad local businesses like Astro Zombies that lend their support. So if you're a local business, or if you're an individual who loves the station, mystaticradio.com. Check out how you can support us financially.
Do it, do it. Okay.
All right, y'all. It is Comics Corner. Where do we want to begin? Movies?
Well,
television?
There was a lot of comic books, and we were relying on Max to cover some of them, but luckily, just in case, he sent us with all of the ones we were going to cover.
Yeah.
There's a lot of books to read.
So many.
I didn't read a couple of them. You did.
I read everything.
A lot of X-Men based comics this week.
Yeah, it was a little cray.
Let's do.
We definitely want to let people know it's going to be a little spoilerific this week because we're going to be talking about Captain America.
We are
going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had their first episode after the big spoiler bomb dropping Captain America 2 movie, which changed everything.
So if
for
you
the show.
If you haven't seen Captain America and you didn't watch S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe turn
kinda
us down.
Kind of want to tune out now.
We'll wait and save that. Wait, do you want to do that right now so people can tune out?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that right now. So tune out, come back in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, so last night, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and if you've seen Captain America, big changes.
Big changes.
So much so that when Joss Whedon approached Marvel and said, here's what I want to do. TV series. It's going to be called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to be centered around S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And Marvel said, well, actually, we need to talk about that because we already have a really good idea with what we're going to do with Cap 2. It involves the dismantling / destroying of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agency.
Oh.
So if that's really a show you want to do, just know we're not changing our storyline in Cap 2. And they were like, oh.
Okay.
Even better.
Which is great because number one, Cap 2 is awesome.
That is my personal favorite Marvel movie to date.
The Winter Soldier is the movie. It is so good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Espionage. Robert Redford was fantastic. I gave it 7 thumbs up.
Yes.
I tore off other people's thumbs and I added it to my 2.
Why would you do that?
Well, because 2 just isn't enough, Matt.
No, it is enough. And if you would have known that, you would have known it. That's what happens with knowledge. You know it. Yeah,
it was
Cap was so good.
And awful. I apologize to everybody whose thumbs I stole.
Was so. Why did you really take
I'm
people's
sorry.
Thumbs? It was so good, guys.
It was.
So good. I can't say enough good things about it. It's Marvel's movies. I think one thing that people have not liked about it is, and at first everybody appreciated about the Marvel films was the levity that the comedy provided.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know one of the big complaints in Iron Man 3 and Thor the Dark World is, why is there so much comedy?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a bad thing. Some people really didn't like it, and they said it stole from the movie.
And this film really, there wasn't a whole lot. This was more espionage. This was more spy drama. It reminded me of a Bourne Identity film.
Yeah.
The way it was made, absolutely fantastic.
The balance of comedy in this movie is superb.
Now, some people were complaining, saying that Captain America was too good of a Boy Scout, that you need your hero to be rugged, you need him to, you know, be kind of on the edge, like a Batman-type character.
Mm-mm.
And I heard a great rebuttal about that this week, because Captain America truly is a Boy Scout.
Yes.
He's a man out of time, he's from the 40s, and, you know, it was a different generation. He's polite. He comments in this film that he never lies, mm-hmm. that he always tells the truth. I noted that, you know, in Avengers, he talks about how there's only one God, and
yeah, so he's compared to the rest of the heroes in the Avengers, he is old school.
He is old school.
It's funny, they make a crack at Captain America because he pulls out this list. He's like, I'll add it to the list, and then he pulls out a list, and he's got these things written down from the past 60 years that he has to catch up
Star
on.
Star Wars, I noticed on the list.
Yeah, they reference a Marvin Gaye album.
Yep.
It's just so many different things.
You know, they filmed that scene differently for all the different countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So depending upon the country that you were in watching the film, he had a different list when he pulled it out. So
yeah.
I'm interested to know what was on the list from around the world. That was kind of
cool
that they did
cool.
that. So, but yeah, he's a Boy Scout. And, you know, people were saying he's too nice. He's not rugged enough. He's too perfect. And, you know, you want to be able to relate. And I heard a great commentary talking about that very thing, because there are the heroes that we relate to, like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
We can relate to where they're the reluctant hero, if you will. And they got these powers and they know they should do good. But it's like that internal struggle of doing what is right. And you don't see that with Captain America. He's just a good guy through and through. And something to note was, this person said that there are those heroes we can relate to, but then there are those heroes that we aspire to that are so great. And it obviously reminded me of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, how he can understand everything we're going through, as it says in Hebrews 4, because he was tested, he was tempted in every single way, just like us, but without sin. Mm-hmm. So we have this hero, if you will, that we can aspire to be like. To be like Christ. I mean, if we are Christians, that is what we should be doing. And so I love that, because it really does draw out the fact that Captain America is a really good dude.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be gritty and make gray area choices. He can still be a good guy.
And it's not like he's not struggling with these things. Because
right.
the whole movie is he's a man out of time.
Yeah.
He is a certain way, and he is constantly bombarded by a completely different reality than the one that he grew up in.
Yeah.
Back then, and the big point of the movie, it's number one, it's a great commentary on kind of how the American public views our government right now. And privacy issues and security issues. And he talks about how when he was back in the war, you know, they fought for freedom, And now it seems like they're fighting for fear. They're using fear to make people think that they're free when they're holding a gun to their head and calling it freedom, I think is the exact quote. And it's like, whoa!
It was a fantastic film. And led to the dismantling, if you will, of S.H.I.E.L.D., and which brought us to last night's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Which, I gotta be honest, I have not been a huge fan of the show. We've watched it week in and week out, not only for Comics Corner, but because my kids love it. And
it's a good family
it
show.
It is. It's more family than, say, an Arrow, which is tonight.
And I think for the Marvel fans, it gives you like a little, you know, a little snack until the meal of the movies comes along. But the great thing is, when a movie comes along, then the show becomes a dessert for the few episodes around, like right after the movie. Because especially this episode, the Captain America deals so much with S.H.I.E.L.D., it tied directly into the show, and there were huge ramifications. As the show, it's like the show was happening at the same time as the movie.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the answer. Well, where's Coulson in this movie? Oh, this is happening at the same time. Really cool.
It was really cool. There were some things that happened in this episode. I don't want to spoil it, but there were some things that happened in the episode that's the Marvel. It's part of the Marvel universe. So they made some choices. There are some characters that maybe not so much made it through the episode.
Yeah, there's one character in particular that bites it that in the comics plays
a
big role.
Pretty prominent character, So,
but I guess now we might not have that.
Yeah!
I have an idea for what could happen.
Okay.
I do. And it actually relates to one of our comic books that we're going to be covering. But anyway, if you haven't seen Captain America, I can't encourage you enough. Yeah. Go see that movie.
It was a fantastic film, and the, again, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now we're seeing why the show's kind of had this slow burn, this slow start, because they've been gearing up for the big reveal in Cap 2 so that they can, in turn, do what they've been planning to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. this whole time, which last night's episode was probably the best.
Yeah, best episode so far. I hope there was a ratings bump, because I know consistently S.H.I.E.L.D. has just
so
been
much
dropping
so.
And dropping and dropping.
It hasn't been renewed for another season.
But I read a list today, because I was checking on my favorite show, Community, and it's still, like, they're not sure if it's going to get... Yeah. Which, by the way, Abed from Community, Danny Pudi, makes a...
Yeah.
He makes a cameo. And it's because the guys that directed Captain America, they have been in charge of a ton of Community episodes.
Yep.
Anyway.
So great.
So great. So great to see that dude. It was like, ah! But anyway, Community's on the bubble or whatever. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now looking like it's probably going to get renewed.
Okay, cool.
That's what it said.
Little correction for me tonight. Arrow, repeat. It's not a new episode of Arrow.
No!
Which is okay, because Jack and Luke have a game, so we got to go to the game anyway.
Game!
All right. So, moving on from television and film.
Yeah, well, so now you can turn your radio back up because you're listening. You guys text your friends.
If they're listening, they didn't turn their radio
on. No, they heard it. Okay. They get me, man.
Okay.
It's telepathy. There's a clairvoyant in the mix.
It is Comics Corner. We're going through a lot of comics, actually, that released today. Me. Max, normally here from Astro Zombies, he does kind of our independent comics and our DC comics. But thankfully, I actually picked up the most important DC release this week. It's called Batman Eternal, number one. It's a brand new story arc. Scott Snyder is in charge of this. And it's been hit or miss with Scott Snyder. Some people really love the direction he took with Batman. Some have hated the direction he took with Batman. If you've been on the fence, or if you just haven't had a chance to get into it, but you keep, you know, we get a lot of questions. Where should I start if I want to pick up a comic? I feel like Batman Eternal number one is a really great place.
Yes.
If you're into Batman, it's a whole new story arc that kicks off today. And I'm going to say it's definitely more Dark Knight than Captain America per se. It's more adult, if you will. Not really in content or language. It's just, it feels like more adult themed. Yeah. The very first opening page picks up with... Bruce Wayne, not Batman, Bruce Wayne, tied to the...
just tied up.
The bat signal.
Yeah.
It's broken, Gotham's on fire,
and the Batman logo
is carved into his chest, and he's basically, it almost looks like he's being crucified. He's kind of on the bat signal as a cross, and that's how Batman Eternal starts and says, the end.
That's where we start.
It's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino where it's like, hey, this is the ending, and then... Whoo, and it's slowly...
Now
we got to figure out Yeah, how it's
introducing
got there.
A new character, and I feel like that's the character we're going to be walking in the shoes of. It's a new cop.
New cop to Gotham City, and he's kind of, you know, going there at the request of Commissioner Gordon, who hired him. Really cool.
Interesting twist with Commissioner Gordon, too.
Yes.
This is a good book. I've never been a huge Batman fan. Had a couple of Batman comics when I was a kid. Of course, loved the movies.
Yeah.
But this comic is a great... I need to tell Tim Skipper. It's like, dude, you need to get on Batman Eternal. It's a great place to start.
Whether you're brand new to comics or a huge Batman fan, I feel like this one knocks it out of the park. It's going to be a really great series.
Not to mention that DC, they bring it with the art.
Yeah.
They bring it. It seems like all the DC comics that we read, the few that I read, and all of the ones that Max recommends or that you pick up, the art is always excellent.
Yeah.
And you can't say that for every Marvel book, and that frustrates me to no end.
Yeah. I know. We'll talk about that coming up when we get to Marvel. One more from Image Comics. Robert Kirkman, who is the writer of The Walking Dead, he also writes a book called Invincible, which has been, for a very long time, one of my favorite books because it kind of takes me back to being a kid. It follows Mark Grayson. He's this, you know, teenager, kind of like in The Incredibles, where his dad is the Superman of the universe, basically Omni-Man, and he gets superpowers, and, you know, he's kind of trying to be like a Superboy. And I've always really enjoyed this comic. Now, throughout the comics, it has at times gone more grown up and blood and whatever, but they've kind of steered away from, like, the super serious. Invincible 110 releases this week, and I gotta tell you, I was waiting for Max to come in this morning so I could say, hey, man, it's been 110 issues of Invincible for me reading, and I feel like it's time to drop it. Because Robert Kirkman went so adult... that it was just too much for me because this comic isn't supposed to be like that. And so I got to be honest, I was not a fan. I don't like the direction. It feels like they're rehashing stuff from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And so...
maybe he's tying it into the same little universe.
Ugh, sad day. There's no way! They can't!
I know. I'm just making excuses.
It was just a sad moment for me.
It's been one of your favorites for so long, and now you're at that pivotal place where it's like, maybe I should just stop.
Yeah, there was nothing I could pull away from it that was just of value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We try and find something deeper, and I was reading this comic, and it was just like, no, whoa.
And it doesn't sound like it's a Miracle Man situation where you're staring at, like, even though it's adult-themed, it's heavy content. It covers deep questions that everyone can really relate to, where it's like, whoa, where do you go from here? You know, and Miracle Man is just crazy.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like that's kind of what happened with this. Because you tell me what happened, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, I don't even want to talk about it. So
there are situations that are adult-themed that can happen, and they're serious, but they make sense.
Yeah.
This is not one of those situations.
This is not one of those moments.
It's kind of out of left field, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is the guy that writes The Walking Dead comic book, which is so out of left field at all. It's like shock value comic all the time, and so it's kind of a reminder.
I'll just say, it in my opinion, it almost made light of sexual assault.
Wow.
And it was so serious that I was so put off. I was so disgusted that it was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
No need to read. You know, so for as much as we've been reading some comics to review them, that's one that I'm just flat dropping.
All right, there you go.
Can't unrecommend it more.
Not so invincible anymore, are we?
Moving on to Marvel.
Marvel. Marvel had a big week.
Major week for comic books.
A few number ones, including Dupe number one. All new Ultimates number one, Iron Fist number one.
There was a Daredevil 50th anniversary this week, Daredevil 1.50.
Didn't pick that one up
because it was like a $5 comic and it was just like a, hey, we love Daredevil, so we're going to do a bunch of Daredevil stories.
Classic stories.
Yeah.
Not so much a fan of those.
Now, speaking of classic characters, Captain Marvel number two released this week.
Woo! Captain Marvel is Carol Danvers. It is a woman. And she has gone off in this. We learned in number one. This is number two. We learned in number one that she was going to start kind of doing what Tony Stark did back in the beginning of the Guardians of the Galaxy series, where you take a little reprieve from Earth and you kind of go be the Avengers ambassador.
It's a mission trip, if you will.
Yeah, she's on a mission trip.
In space.
In space. For the Avengers. No Christian context at all. She's up there kind of doing the Avengers thing.
Yeah.
And she found a refugee from a planet that was trying to get home. It kind of goes into this story. I won't go into the whole thing. And now we find out that that planet is not what they thought it was. And she actually bumps into the Guardians of the Galaxy. And there is a fantastic interaction between Rocket Raccoon and a cat that he thinks is an alien. And it is hilarious. And it reminded me of you and Chrissy's interactions with Panda. And I thought it was so funny.
Yes!
Not to mention you have a strong female lead in Carol Danvers. She don't take no crap.
And it's done well.
Yes, it is.
It's not
cheesy.
Yeah.
It's done well. Imagine, if you will, a young heroine with the power of the universe who is traveling in space by herself with her pet cat that she couldn't find a babysitter for on Earth. Because I know in issue one, she was going to try to get her best friend. And then in this issue, she's complaining to the cat that won't shut up and get in its cage. She's like, you should have been nicer to people that said they would take you in. And it said you wanted to come with me. I thought that was really funny.
That is funny.
Check out Captain Marvel. And that also ties in, we'll talk about this off air, but I think that character will make an appearance in the Marvel movie universe.
Really?
I really do.
Okay.
And I think I have an idea for how she could do it. Another new number one, Dupe.
Yeah.
I did not read this.
Oh, I did.
Dupe is a weird character from the X-Men universe.
Yeah, X-Force.
He looks like Slimer.
There you go. He's like Slimer. He's an odd character. You can't understand his language, so think Chewbacca, but actually more think like an Ewok. He's like this little green thing. He's kind of small. He's got crazy powers. You don't really understand him. And this entire issue was basically how Dupe helped during Children of the Atom, that giant crossover event. Dupe had this huge thing to do with it, and it was all behind the scenes because he's outside of time. And it was really odd.
Yeah.
It was really odd. There's nothing more I can say about it because I was trying desperately to grab something from it. And it was like, okay, it's really odd. I probably won't be picking up. If you're into that odd, you know, Deadpool dupe type humor.
Kind of wacky.
It's definitely there, but it feels like a stretch.
It's off kilter.
Which brings me to another book that I think I had similar quarrels with. Also this week, Nightcrawler number one. Nightcrawler's back from the dead. He's got his own series. And I think part of the problem is there are very few characters in the X-Men universe that can carry their own book. Mm-hmm. Wolverine has his own book.
Cyclops has a new book starting next week.
Yep. And, yeah, that's about it.
Beast? No.
Nope. Gambit had his own book. It lasted 7 issues.
Cable?
Actually, Cable had a really long-standing series. Yeah, over 100 issues when he did. And then Cable and X-Force, and now it's just X-Force.
Deadpool?
But
that's different.
Deadpool.
It's quirky.
So Wolverine.
Magneto.
He's never had a solo series more than like 10 issues.
Anyway, you get the point. And if you've seen the movies, you know Wolverine is like the X-Men.
Yeah, so Cyclops, I'm really interested to see because he's going to have a standalone book. We'll see how long that lasts. But all new Dupe number one, Nightcrawler number one, both released this week. And Nightcrawler number one and Dupe number one fail in the same area, in my opinion. They're great X-Men characters. They're part of an ensemble cast, and now they're by themselves. Dupe was kind of funny, but it was like, okay. Nightcrawler, it was just not, I don't know, it left me not caring about the next issue.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's surprising because
it's one of my favorites.
And it's one of the all-time favorite X-Men writers, Chris Claremont.
Yeah, Chris Claremont is back. He was writing X-Men and Uncanny X-Men when I was a kid collecting comics. And so he's one of the all-time great X-Men writers. He came back to Marvel to do this series. I want to give it a chance because it's Nightcrawler and because it was a number one, but I just wasn't...
Well, give it a few issues.
Yeah.
It's important because some of these things start off slow.
Yeah, and it definitely does that. It's a slow burn and then, you know... It's characters I don't super care about. He goes off on his own, and of course there's the misadventure, and oh no, I gotta save this, but don't have time to call my X-Men friends and Storm, Beast, Wolverine, and everybody else I was just hanging out with. I gotta go do this on my own.
Yeah.
And it never really makes sense to me, so I don't know.
Sometimes team characters just need to stay within a team.
Yep.
Speaking of teams, I didn't read this one. It was a comic I used to collect, but I do not anymore. And you, sir, love this comic
book. I do love this comic book. This week, The Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 11 came out. Superior Foes of Spider-Man is like a comic.
Yeah.
It's a comedic book, if you will.
It is.
It's about the B-list characters that you randomly saw Spider-Man beating up in like the 80s mm-hmm. for like two panels before he went to go fight the real bad guys in Doc Ock and Green Goblin.
Right.
It was like Boomerang and the Beetle. And
who's the one
Speedball.
With the Speed Demon?
That's Speed Demon.
With the, he's
See,
got a
didn't
giant,
even get the name right.
Giant wheel that he runs around.
The Shocker, which yeah. is funny because Shocker was at least part of the Sinister Six at one point. But
I think the cartoon did more for the Shocker than the comic book actually has.
So this week's issue, if you want to know just how off the wall it is, this week's issue doesn't include any of the cast of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man. It is seriously set at a Villains Anonymous. It's kind of like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting place, and it's like this grizzly bear guy who I've never heard of.
I've heard of grizzly bear.
He's, have you?
Yeah.
I don't even know
That's
his name.
Funny. He's like C-list, D-list, yeah. maybe.
It kind of reminds me of Wreck-It Ralph. The very opening panel is like a flyer, and it says, "Don't
hilarious.
Feel bad. You can be good. Yes, we have coffee and donuts. There is power in numbers. Join Supervillains Anonymous today. Fridays in the St. Jude's basement." And the entire issue is set in the St. Jude's basement, and it's these supervillains who really suck at being supervillains. And it's basically how they have tried and tried and tried, and Spider-Man always gets the best of them, and they feel worthless because mm-hmm. they feel their purpose in life is to be bad, and it's not working out because they can't even mug people correctly. It's kind of...
Well, and they're dealing with the implications of Octo Spidey.
Yes, and that's what this issue is really centered around, is two different villains. One who is now in like a full body cast, and one who just feels like a failure because they're cowards. Because it used to be back in the day, they would get into tussles with Spider-Man and they'd go to jail for a while and then they'd get out and then they'd go try and rob banks again. And it was like the good old days.
Yeah.
Now, Spider-Man, because, you know, nobody knows but us that Spider-Man is actually Doc Ock and he's taking out bad guys.
Right.
He killed somebody,
killed some folks,
he broke body parts, and so now people are afraid, and it's like, well, I was a supervillain, but not really. I was just kind of a bad guy. I could go knock off a bank, and then Spider-Man would beat me up, and then I'd live to, you know, be a supervillain another day. Now I don't know what to do with my life because I'm afraid of Spider-Man.
I'm afraid of him.
I'm afraid for my life, and I'm trying to be a good person, but I'm a supervillain.
This comic kind of breaks the fourth wall. Because
it really does.
They're not really adventurers. And now it's doing that even more because the characters that you've been following the whole series aren't even in this comic.
Yeah, it was funny, but it was really... It's really off the wall. It's don't think you're going to go on any grand adventures in any way, shape, or form. Oh. It's supervillains who aren't so super.
And there are a few comics that kind of do this. Superior Foes, the Hawkeye series.
Yeah.
There's a few more. They're kind of a reprieve from the super...
End of the world.
Yeah, end of the world, big event.
Yeah.
The Marvel Universe will never be the same. That's what they say every issue of every comic that Marvel puts out.
Yeah, and this one is, hey, there's a guy in a grizzly bear costume, a guy with a bell on his head, and now a guy in a wheelchair because his legs got broken by Spider-Man, who are in the basement of St. Jude's.
That's funny.
At Supervillains Anonymous.
Okay, so we're going to make a quick diversion because I know we have two comics we want to end with that
yeah.
I feel like we both thought were the best ones this week.
Yeah.
But a quick diversion to the Ultimate Universe where they've kickstarted the all-new Ultimates number one. Remember, the Ultimate Universe is a parallel universe within the Marvel blanket of universes. And it recently got destroyed by Galactus. There was this huge crossover event. A lot of the main characters in the Ultimate Universe, including Captain America, died.
Died!
And their team, instead of the Avengers, is called the Ultimates.
Yeah.
And now, some of the kids that are left over, and I say kids because they're kids, they're teenagers, they've decided they're going to kick back up the Ultimates in a new way. And so we have all-new Ultimates number one, featuring Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
He's the new Spider-Man, yeah.
Cloak and Dagger. Kitty Pryde, somewhat.
Yeah, kind
of. The female clone of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, who has changed her name to Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
And this...
Bombshell.
Bombshell, that's her
yes.
name. And was she Miles' girlfriend at one point or something? We don't know.
Well,
lots
no.
of teen drama in
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, teen drama, yeah.
This is like the CW of the Marvel
that's
Universe.
That's exactly what I was going to say!
That's exactly what it is.
they're teenagers. It's teenage problems. At one point, Genki, who is Spider-Man's best friend, gets beat up in Hell's Kitchen because he just bought some rare Legos on Craigslist.
Yeah, so
that's seriously in the comic.
If you're into Gossip Girl, but you like superheroes, this is for you. All New Ultimates is your comic book.
But
it's
the art kind of sucks.
The art in this book sucks.
It's that, not great.
The writing is great.
Maybe teenagers drew it as well.
Maybe so. The people look like weird bugs. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. The art really threw me.
Which really bummed me out because Miles Morales, we almost named Brody Miles.
Yeah.
After this character.
Yep.
Not even being
And
funny.
It's written very well. The book's written very well. If you can get past the art, then go for it.
Yeah. So it's one. That's absolutely it. It's the CW. It's a little better than Smallville, not as good as Arrow.
Yeah. And it's always disappointing when a comic's cover looks great.
Yeah.
And then you flip it open and it's somebody completely different and the art is stupid.
Now, speaking of art, transitioning, there were a couple books. Well, I want to end on this, I think.
End on that one. Let's start. Now, there's a new number one, Iron Fist. Another the living
new number
weapon.
One. So many new comics to jumpstart this week. Marvel's really trying to get people to jump on board.
Well, Iron Fist is important. They want people to get on this because there's going to be a Netflix series with Iron Fist. And I'm betting it's going to be just like this.
Yeah, television series.
And that's not a bad
live
thing.
Live action, no.
Because this is a great comic. Iron Fist is this ninja.
Yeah.
And he's got his...
He's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed ninja.
Yeah, he's the living weapon.
Yeah.
He can turn his little hand into an iron fist, and it can blow things up.
Yeah, he's got these dragon powers. Think Street Fighter.
Yes.
Hadouken!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of Ken.
Yeah.
Ken, not Ryu. Go Ken with this. Doug knows what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So, Iron Fist, number one, we're getting background on him. Just like, well, not just like, but much like how Moon Knight recently kicked off and was a slam dunk, I'm going to call this a slam dunk.
Absolutely.
I've never cared about Iron Fist whatsoever.
And see, I've only read one run of Iron Fist, and it was because Ed Brubaker, who wrote Captain America for so long,
the Winter
did
Soldier.
An Iron Fist run. Exactly. That's where we got the Winter Soldier. He's the one that did all of that you saw in Cap 2. It was his material.
Yep.
So I love Ed Brubaker. He did a great run with Daniel Rand, and it actually made me care about the character. Because you're right. He's this Bruce Lee dude, but he looks like Ken from Street Fighter 2 or from Barbie.
Or Arrow.
Or,
he looks
blonde
like blonde-haired,
blue-eyed,
Quinn.
Really rich dude. Runs a company called Rand, which Daniel Rand, his dad was like this gajillionaire, and now he's the heir. And then gets these super crazy chi powers and becomes the ultimate weapon.
And if your kids watch the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon series right now, Iron Fist is in that series, and he is nothing like he is in the
comic. Yeah, he doesn't have the green spandex or the yellow mask. But
no.
But the cover of issue 2 does have him with the... Well, this cover had him with the yellow mask, too. He just doesn't wear it in
He'll
this
issue. He'll be suited up. But this was a more mature book, too. Not totally, like... adult themed and everything, but
just
it's definitely
violence,
not
action. Think the Matrix.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Think the
Matrix.
It's definitely not the Iron Fist from the cartoon. So if your kid's like, "Hey, I love Iron Fist in the cartoon. I want to get the comic." Maybe not.
Yeah. There's some death. But all around excellent writing, great art, and it's a brand new series, so Marvel really making it easy for people to want to jump on new comics and have to refinance your home because you're broke.
Take out a third mortgage.
So,
if this is how Iron Fist is going to be in the Netflix series, I'm down.
I am very excited.
I will watch that series.
Yeah.
Now,
the
best book of the week.
Yeah, both of us have the same book as our pick of the week.
And I do not care about X-Men whatsoever.
Which makes me sad for you.
But this was great.
Now, over the course of the last year, we've been covering all new X-Men. A year or two now.
Yep.
All new X-Men. Beast saw what was happening with the X-Men. Scott Summers killed Professor X and all these crazy, really grown-up things. And Beast thought, man, if only us, the original X-Men, could come to the present and see what we've become and see the repercussions of the choices we've made, maybe we would be better.
Yeah.
So Beast went back in time and got the original X-Men and brought them to the present. And this entire issue is centered around Beast's decision and what he did, because now we see...
ramifications.
Yes, because the X-Men have all split. Nobody's friends. And the narrator of the story, who is revealed at the end, we don't want to spoil that, but the narrator basically shows Beast what he's done.
Yes.
And how, you know, you have those certain characters like the original X-Men who were guided by Professor X, mm-hmm. who was their, if you will, who was the Holy Spirit for them, who showed them the difference between good and evil, who helped them hone their powers, who did all of these things for them, and Beast took them as teenagers out of that world, and now you have these teenagers who don't have that guidance.
And in fact, the guidance they have is looking at all of their mistakes from the future and seeing what they've become.
Right.
That's their guide now.
Man, and so basically, this book to me on so many levels, because imagine this. Imagine a world where you had no guidance, where you were left to your own devices, where the Holy Spirit wasn't there, where that we did not have the Holy Spirit as our guide to lead us.
Because it's there's just
so
you
many,
out there.
Think about this. There's so many times in our lives where we think we know better than God. Because
yeah,
we're like, dude, are you kidding me? God's calling me here. God wants me to do, but I really feel like this is what's for my life. This is what's best for my life. And you think you know, and you make these decisions based upon you, selfish you,
in the
apart
moment.
From God. Yeah. And this comic book, honestly, is really this drawn out, hey, these are the ramifications of you playing God, of you thinking that you know better, of you pretending that you are the ultimate answer, that you, you know,
that you had a better plan.
Basically, who are you to question the authority of God? Who are you as a man to say that you know best for what's right in the universe? That's what the comic is saying. It was like, how many times have I, knowing what God wants for my life, said, yeah, but if only this, or if, yeah, but Lord, if this had happened, or if I had done this, or if we had that, how much better would my life be?
Yeah, because we always have good intentions. I know with me and my horrendously bad calls throughout my history on this earth, you always have the best intentions, and you're like, you know, it's not just about me. Like, I want to be happy in this, but I truly want the people around me to be happier too. And for some reason, I think if I could be happier, but really what you're doing is that's a lack of faith. You're not trusting that maybe you don't know all the variables, and maybe you don't know, you know, exactly what's going to go down.
Right.
And that's, fortunately, the Lord has so much grace for us to allow, you know, he's still with us. He's tracking with us, and he loves us so much that even in our mistakes, he's still there.
Yeah.
But the relation to this comic book is Beast finally gets confronted with the ramifications of his choice to do what he thought was best.
Yeah.
Which he really did want good things for his friends, and he wanted the betterment of the mutant race, which I think Beast has always kind of been known for.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like, do you see what you've done? Because you've taken people away from what they were supposed to be doing. Very interesting look. And no spoilers, but there is a huge Marvel series that's a big crossover event called Original Sin that's about to go down, and this ties directly into that.
Absolutely.
So this is an important issue to pick up if you're a comic fan, if you're an X-Men fan. It's a fascinating look into the motivations of Beast.
If there's anything that we could share with you from Scripture with this comic, I immediately thought of Philippians chapter 4, because Paul talks about contentment. And if you are not content in your situation, man, it can go crazy when you start thinking that you know better than God. And Paul really gives us a great model. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Man, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He talks about this great thing. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And it's this incredible reminder that there are so many times where we think we know what's best, and maybe we don't like our circumstances. We don't like the situation that we are placed in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't make a crappy decision. Maybe it's just something that you're in. Maybe somebody else at work. Maybe whatever it is. But know that in all things, we rejoice, we are content in our situation, and we allow God to be God. Because when we try and take over, Beast, Marvel Universe gets destroyed!
Yeah.
So,
or at least in the real world,
oh man,
there are ripple effects to all of our decisions.
Absolutely,
no man is an island.
It was pretty great. That comic, All New X-Men this week, was absolutely fantastic. It sets up a lot for the future. All New X-Men 25, I think our pick.
Yeah, that was definitely my pick of the week. Looking forward, there's a bunch of new books coming out next week too. Great books.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm excited. All new Ultimate Spider-Man number one. There's so many books.
The
coming
Cyclops
out.
Number one. Also, guys, we are officially in the countdown mode for Amazing Spider-Man 2. So you know this dude right here be getting all sweaty because he's so excited. I'm so excited. I'm getting sweaty. When I get really excited, I sweat a lot.
Okay. Oh, man.
It's going to be great.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate and us. You can get your questions in now, studio at mystaticradio.com. I want to thank Astro Zombies at 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, astrozombies.com, or phone number 232-7800. Thanks, Astro Zombies, for making Comics Corner possible.
Yeah, Max does a comic review show on YouTube every week, and I posted the link on our Facebook. If you are interested in that, go look at Max. He couldn't be here today, but he is with us on the internet.
All right, there you go. Right back, we got Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate and Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
This is Dad.